Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, Hall of Chips and the PC. It is Saturday, the 30th of December, Anno Domini 2017, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. First, we were all... Dave Enright, of course, is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest this week. We were all there last week. Well, I was in the Southwest. But we're all one step ahead of the law somewhere. And now we are on the last show of 2017. Okay, news. First, they denied it. Then they admitted it. Then they said it was for our own good. Then they tried to make it up for us, to us. And now they're being sued. They, of course, are Apple, and it is the fact that iOS 11 deliberately slows down older iPhone models. Apple defrauded iPhone users by slowing devices without warning to compensate for poor battery performance, according to 8 lawsuits filed in various federal courts in the week since the company opened up about the year-old software change. The tweak may have led iPhone owners to misguided attempts to resolve issues over the last year, the lawsuits contend. All the lawsuits which were filed in U.S. district courts in California, New York, and Illinois seek class actions to represent potentially millions of iPhone owners nationwide. A similar case was lodged in an Israeli court on Monday. The company acknowledged last week for the first time in detail that operating system updates released since last year for the iPhone 6, 6S, SE, and 7 included a feature to smooth out power supply from batteries that are cold, old, or low on charge. Phones without the adjustment would shut down abruptly because of a precaution designed to prevent components from getting fried, Apple said. The disclosure followed a December 18th analysis by Primate Labs, which develops an iPhone performance measuring app that identified blips in processing speed and concluded that a software change had to be behind them. Excuse me. One of the lawsuits filed Thursday in San Francisco said that the battery's inability to handle the demand created by processor speeds without the software patch was a defect. Rather than curing the battery defect by providing a free battery replacement for all affected iPhones, Apple sought to mask the battery defect, according to the complaint. The plaintiff in that case is represented by attorney Jeffrey Fazio, who also represented plaintiffs in a $53 million settlement with Apple in 2013 over its handling of iPhone warranty claims. The problem now seen is that users over the last year could have blamed an aging computer processor for app crashes and sluggish performance and chose to buy a new phone when the true cause may have been a weak battery that could have been replaced for a fraction of the cost, according to some of the lawsuits. If it turns out that consumers would have replaced their battery instead of buying new iPhones had they known the true nature of Apple's upgrades, you might start to have a better case for some sort of misrepresentation or fraud, said Rory Van Loo, a Boston University professor specializing in consumer technology law. The lawsuit seeks unspecified damages in addition to, in some cases, reimbursement. A couple of the complaints seek court orders barring Apple from throttling iPhone computer speeds or requiring notification in future instances. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Apple deliberately slowed down old iPhones? Your choices are, that's okay, Apple loves me, we should have been informed, my faith is shaken, burn them to the ground, and my phone's battery is replaceable. So far, we've got 31 votes, and not surprisingly, my phone's battery is replaceable is ahead, followed by we should have been informed, followed by burn them to the ground, followed by that's okay, and only one person's faith is shaken. Now, I know you're going to have a lot more to say about this. If you scroll down on the right, under fascinating stuff, the first choice is the forums, and the second forum down is poll discussion, and currently, at least the first poll discussion is 30 December 17, or as it says here, apparently 0 December 17, Apple deliberately slowed down iPhones. And of course, you can join us by giving us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
And part of the issue is they were responding to complaints that the iPhone would suddenly shut off when your battery gets weak. And so they fixed that by slowing it down when the battery got weak so it wouldn't draw so much power. And
well, it isn't that they did that. It's that they didn't tell anybody they were doing that.
Yeah.
And so what it looks like, whether it's true or not, of course, no one knows. But what it looks like is that it looks like Apple deliberately slowed down older model phones so that you would buy a new one.
They should at least be like the mobile carriers and put it in like the tiny print at the bottom.
Somewhere.
Well, and that's basically what they have done now. That Apple has issued a public statement that batteries are consumable devices, and if they wear out, your phone's going to crash.
Now, I will say this. My phone, I have a Samsung Galaxy S5, and my phone recently began having that exact problem, 35%, and suddenly the phone shuts down. Get to 35% battery, boom, it shuts right down. So I spent $20 on Amazon, bought a brand new battery, popped the back off, popped it in, popped the back on, and now it's like, boom, beautiful. I get the same kind of life out of the battery that I was getting day one when I first bought it, day and a half worth of battery. So,
and that's one of the misconceptions about battery consumption is, 35% sounds like it should last a lot longer. But, when you first get your battery, 100% is, say, 8 hours. And, 3 or 4 years later, when the battery is worn out, 100% is 5 minutes.
Right.
So 100% could be 5 minutes. 35% could be 15 seconds.
Right. Right.
And that's
exactly
what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So, but now I'm fine. Also, of course, I try to charge my battery more often than when it gets way down because, as many of you know, with the lithium ion batteries, what ages them is charging. And so the less, it's not the number of times it's on the charge, it's how long it's on the charge. So if you charge it more often when it hits like 50% or even higher, 70%, whatever, the battery actually lasts longer than if you let it get down to zero and then charge it up and let it get down to zero and charge it up.
So what Apple is doing for customers that have the iPhone 6 and 6S, and some people are saying that they should also do it for the 5, but that's, what's that, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 6 generations old.
Too bad if that's how, as they have. Now, Dennis Worster said, and by the way, Dennis, we all apologize. Dennis Worster said on Facebook that it should also include the 5 because iOS 11 runs on the 5.
Right.
So if iOS 11 runs on it, and they did this to that phone, they should undo it.
They actually introduced this feature in 10.2, and customers loved it because it stopped their phone from crashing. But as it stands now, if you have an iPhone 6 or S or Plus or the SE, Apple is reducing the price of a battery replacement. So it used to be $79 to get the battery replaced. They're reducing that to $29 starting sometime in January. We don't know what's going to happen if you already did get your battery replaced or if you already bought a new phone because you thought your phone was broken, not just the battery.
Right, and that's what these lawsuits are saying.
Yeah.
People, instead of spending even $79, they spend $800 on a new phone.
Rebate.
We'll see what happens.
And they've done that in the past. And Apple's also said in this statement that they're going to enhance the way the battery level works, so it won't just tell you a percentage now. There already have been third-party tools, and in fact, the company that found this issue is one of them that makes these third-party tools, that give you a more detailed battery health. It gives you the percent of charge, it gives you the cycle count, and so it tells you all this stuff rather than just 80%.
Right.
Is yeah. So is 80% 6 hours or is 80% 10 minutes?
Right. Right. Exactly right. And that's the problem. So we'll see. We'll keep you informed as more information comes out. But right now there are lawsuits and there are and they are looking to become class action lawsuits. I'm not a lawyer. I don't even play one on television anymore. But apparently, you sue somebody and say, I want this to be a class action lawsuit, and then boom, it is.
There are X number of people
who have to
in this class right. that have the same problem. So instead of having a million individual lawsuits, they have one big lawsuit.
Right.
That was the whole point of it. But yeah, trying to ask to be a class, the judge has to decide
right.
If there is a class.
Right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Brian from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Brian. What's up?
Hi there. Just a second. Hang on, guys. Hang on.
Yep, not a problem.
Well, I'm trying to do the phone. Okay.
Did you surprise yourself that you had called in? Is that what that? You didn't know you called in?
Oh, no, I called in, but I had it on speakerphone, so I didn't have to hold it up to my ear the entire time while you were going on about this unfortunate incident.
Yes.
I'm calling for a friend. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You have a friend? Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does. But this friend happens to be, have a severe hearing loss. And so calling into a radio station is pretty almost impossible for
yep.
him.
Yep.
But I've had a similar problem. Now, he's working with a PC, Windows 10, and he was using Microsoft Word to do a doctoral dissertation, a doctoral paper, 20-page paper. Types it all in, all ready to go. He's trying to send it electronically to the professor. All of a sudden, the monitor, kind of, as he says, had an atomic reaction. Crackle, snap, boom, the thing reboots. The paper comes back up in paragraph alphabetical order.
Wow!
All his saved files are gone.
Wow!
Where did all the save files go?
Ha!
Nobody knows. That's why they call it the ether. It's gone. Yeah. They could not find them. They could not retrieve them. They could not...
There is an alphabetized command in Word that will do that for you.
I'm sorry?
There is an alphabetized command in Word that will alphabetize your document.
Well, they couldn't find any way to unalphabetize it. They wound up printing the entire thing, physically cutting it into paragraphs, reordering it, and having somebody else type it for them.
Yeah, well, yeah. I have never
similar. I don't use Word, but I'm working along, and all of a sudden I get the same little atomic reaction on the monitor, snap, crackle, and the thing reboots, and it's reset all my graphics. And they're bigger. And the resolution on the screen, all the icons are bigger, everything's bigger, and I couldn't do anything to reset them until about 3 weeks later, snap, crackle, pop, boom, and it reset them all the way they were had before.
Okay, that's not normal. I'll be honest with you.
PRAM battery? Or CMOS battery on a PC?
That would be too easy an answer, right?
Well, I would wonder if it has something to do, particularly since it's now winter, with static electricity.
Hmm.
I have always said people should compute naked.
It's, well, and shave.
And shave.
Shave. See, that wouldn't help you. Now that's static generated anyway.
Great. Entire body, 5 o'clock shadow. Nice. Here's the thing. If you've got, and of course you might not notice it, but because it wouldn't necessarily be a particularly large charge as far as a human being is concerned, but for a keyboard connected to a motherboard, it could easily be a huge charge. My first suggestion is always everybody listening should have one of those plastic, what they used to call, and I'm sure it's a completely non-PC thing to say now, but secretary mats.
An anti-static mat.
Let's call it that.
Well, plastic mat. It doesn't, anti-static is better.
Desk blotter.
No, that's on the desk. That's separate. Now we're going to talk about that next. But first, one of those mats that you put underneath the chair.
Yeah.
Anti-static is best because then when you walk to sit down in your chair,
you're building up.
That's so you don't put ruts in the carpet.
Well, that's theoretically it, but it also gets rid of the static electricity.
Yep.
So when you sit down, you don't have any. The second thing you could do is put an anti-static strip across the where you rest your wrists, which, of course, you shouldn't do anyway, but everybody does, which will prevent you from having a static buildup from the chair and whatever clothing you're wearing. The shirt that I'm wearing today is particularly staticky for some reason. When I put it on, it just started to snap and crackle itself, and I thought, I'm about to teleport somewhere. I don't know what's quite going on.
Right.
But definitely, as far as all of that is concerned, I would start with static electricity because this is the season.
And there is a keyboard combination for sorting. It's Alt-H-S-O. Alt-H-S-O, which takes you to the home menu, the paragraph command, the sort command. So theoretically, he could have hit that accidentally, but that'd be really hard to hit four keys accidentally in the right order.
So
I've seen people do it.
Right. Now, as far as preventing this from happening again, the first thing, of course, is that static. The second thing is if it continues to happen after you put the anti-static stuff down, then you need to get some electrician in to check your wire, not necessarily your wiring, but your electrical the outlet itself.
You can get a simple ground detector at a store.
Right, but there's a...
And if it says it's not grounded, then you need the electrician.
Right. Yeah. So you need to know if it's grounded, but an electrician will also have... I forget what the technical term is, but basically to make sure that the electricity is smooth and constant.
Right. No spikes.
Right.
The building he lives in is pretty old, so.
Right, and then the third thing is backups, having thousands upon thousands of backups.
But the
basic thing here is you can have Word save backups automatically, but it overwrites each backup as it does it.
Right.
And so you really only have one backup. Even if you save every 30 seconds, you've still only got one backup. Once in a while, you should stop. You know, when you're writing, you stop and take a drink of water. You stop and stretch. You stop and try to actually think. And every time you do that, you should have a window open where you can copy that backup file and paste it into another directory.
Mm-hmm.
So that you've always got a separate backup. And I realize that's a problem because it's manual.
I've had a hard time trying to get my wife to just hit Command S to save at all. She'll type for hours and never save the document.
Right.
So when you stop and think, you're going to type your next page, just hit Command S, save.
Right. It doesn't take long to make that a habit.
Yeah.
But saving regularly is important.
Then she says print, and it crashes and loses it all.
Yeah. All right, you want to stay on the line, or you want to be done? We got to take a break.
No, I'm done.
All right, thanks.
Alt-H-S-O.
Yep. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 23 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 27 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And I'm wondering if there are any lip readers watching the YouTube video while we're in the break.
Break, maybe.
Back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. Sounds like they did.
We did. How about you?
Oh, wonderful.
Good.
And Happy New Year to everybody.
You too.
Your mic is live when you're on hold waiting to get on the air. I didn't have to read lips. I could hear all the comments.
There you go. Nice.
I forgot I was supposed to call about the Google meeting. We'll get to that later.
Yep.
You left off one option on your survey.
What?
My phone is an Android.
Right. Well, that generally is covered by my battery is changeable because certainly no iPhone can.
A lot
no, that's true. The old ones. Very old ones. No?
They're not user replaceable.
Right.
But there are some of the new Android phones from some of the flagship companies are making non-user replaceable
batteries,
too. Yeah, I
know. That makes me very unhappy.
Like mine.
And they're removing headphone jacks on the Androids.
Yep.
So they're copying Apple again.
Well, you know, once Apple made it okay to save a couple of bucks by porking off every consumer, then everybody else did it, too.
Yeah. Well, it lets consumers save money. You were talking about charging frequently rather than let the battery get very low.
Yeah.
Kind of a corollary question to that. Does it hurt it if you leave it on the charger?
It depends on the charger.
And the battery.
Yeah, and the battery.
The well-manufactured ones will recognize they don't. The charging is complete and stop.
Okay, what drives the question is, I like to plug it in when I go to bed at night,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it doesn't have to charge more than half an hour to an hour, but I'm not going to get up and unplug it.
Right.
I do it in the morning. So should I wait until I'm up and let it run for whatever it needs to run and then unplug it quicker, or would it hurt it? I know Jerry says just plug them in and leave them in all the time, but that's Jerry's way of doing it.
Well, and it's if you're using a name brand battery charger with a name brand cable, you know, not the, you know, the cheap, you know, too cheap stuff that may not have the overcharge circuitry protection built in.
Right. So any basic name brand battery these days with the name brand controller will indeed, or rather charger, will indeed shut itself off when it's done.
So if you're using the original one that came with the phone, no problem.
You shouldn't have a problem.
Yeah. There's been a big problem on Amazon especially. I think it was Travis Orbendy from Google tested a lot of the USB charging cables on Amazon and found that a lot of them were counterfeit. So even if they had the made-for-Google or made-for-iPhone badge on it, that wasn't really part of the program. And many of them were just made so poorly. You know, the retail manufacturer price is $30. You can buy one on Amazon for, you know, $1. It's something's got to be wrong with it. And he was able to find that most of the cables you buy are counterfeit and very poorly constructed, and he'd be scared to use them.
Yep.
Interesting. Static charge.
Yeah.
This is going to sound really silly, but we actually tested it and it did work. We had several people back when I was working that certain times of the year they would just zap their computer on a regular basis.
Yep.
And one of our maintenance techs, and it was really seemed silly, but all of our office chairs had metal bases on them. So he made a chain out of paper clips.
Yep.
And he would loop it around the bottom of the chair and make it long enough so it dragged on the carpet.
Yep.
And it would ground the chair.
Yep. That's all you have to do is ground it. So you can either put down a static mat, which will ground you. You can use the clips, which will ground you. You can spray anti-static spray, you know, the stuff that people use on their clothing. You can spray that around, but that gets expensive eventually and stinks.
And not right on the computer.
And not on the computer, but on the floor around the chair. As I said, you can compute naked. What I did was took the carpet out of my computer room. Problem solved. That was easy enough. But
the chair rolls better that way, too.
It does that, and I got a static mat down anyway because, again, it rolls better. And I don't have to ruin my Rochester floors. But basically, whatever you can do to lower the static that you have in the winter particularly, the better off you'll be. Because zapping your computer, it's even if it's a little shock to you, it's a huge shock to your electronics. Because, you know, there's what is it, thousands of volts and no amps?
Yeah.
That's how it works. In a static charge, but a computer's only used to 5 volts. You know,
and the chips are usually working on microvolts or picovolts.
Right. So when you send hundreds or thousands of volts through it, you got a problem. So yeah, that's it.
Okay. And last, since you reminded me, this coming Thursday is the Rochester Googles meeting.
Yes, it is.
First of the year, over at St. John's Meadow at 7:00. We discuss all things Chrome and Google and Android and probably even answer a whole bunch of Windows questions while we're at it.
Whatever people ask, we'll answer.
Yeah. if it comes up, it gets taken care of.
Yep.
And everybody's welcome. And did I leave anything out?
So for those of you who picked up a new phone, a new Google-based phone, or a new Chromebook for the holidays, this is your chance to come and meet like-minded people and maybe even get a few questions answered. Thanks, Andy.
Not a problem. We'll see you Thursday.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about the Rochester Googles group. We call ourselves the Googles group, but we talk about a little bit of everything. And certainly all things Google, which is dang near everything these days. But we do have a nice mix of people with a nice mix of experience, and it's a lot of fun.
We should also point out that Thursday the 4th is Solar Perihelion Day, if I can pronounce that. At 9:17 a.m., we reach our closest point to the sun. We're 3 million miles closer than we are at our farthest point.
Right.
Right in the middle of winter.
Right in the middle of winter.
So the axial tilt.
It's all about the, I was about to say, it's the axial tilt.
The axial tilt makes a lot more difference than the distance from the sun. Although, poor people in Australia.
Well, it's only 3 million miles.
It's only 3 million miles, yeah. That's astronomical. People in the southern hemisphere, Australia and the big deserts, because it's summer and perihelion, they get it worse.
Right.
Down there than we get during our hottest summer.
Right, but 3 million miles is what, 0.4 AU? I mean, it's nothing.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark, also from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark, what's up?
Hey, Nick and everybody, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Two things. One, if you recall, I was telling you about my gateway computer that wouldn't take the any of the updates since the original Windows 10 update, and we determined that maybe it was a video problem because I would get a blank screen so far into the update.
And, right.
It happened to me a few weeks back again. The update came through, and I was leaving to go to a family party, and I just let it go. I just left the computer running. And it came home about 5 hours later, and I had a blank screen, like I always do, and I had to hard boot it to get it to come up again. And the update continued, but it went past the 85%, and 2 hours later I look, and I had the fall creators update.
Wow.
Yeah. After 4 attempts before that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just wondering if it needed to sit and churn.
Well, more important, right, because more important than is the screen blank is the hard drive running.
Right, right.
Which is one of the issues I have with Macs. They have no indication that there's a running hard drive, and that's a problem.
Well, but PCs don't either now. We always used to like those blinky lights.
And that's now, I was about to say, and that's now a thing on many PCs. They don't have any light that says...
And the hard drives are so quiet now, you often can't hear them over the fan.
Right. I remember the days when you couldn't hear yourself over the hard drive.
Yeah.
At least you knew they were running.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, wow, congratulations. That's great.
Yeah, I was very happy. Like I said, I don't know, maybe it needed to churn for a while to realize that it needed to do something. And when I did the reboot, maybe it was stuck having to do the reboot.
Yep.
And I rebooted it, hard booted it, and it continued. And usually it would continue to like 85% and then just freeze. This time it didn't do that.
Nice.
And it went all the way through, and I got it, and it's running great.
Did you ever check for video updates?
I didn't. I was going to, after the new year, look into getting just an inexpensive video card.
Right.
Instead of using the onboard video, and see if that solved the problem. And it solved itself.
That's what counts.
And it's been running great ever since.
Excellent.
Second of all, I recently had a TV replaced through my replacement program through Best Buy. And the replacement I got was a UHD TV, a 4K TV.
Nice.
And, I liked it. Until I got a 4K Blu-ray player, not an upconvert player, but a real 4K player, and put a 4K Blu-ray in, and I was blown away.
Good or bad blown away?
Absolutely blown away. Beautiful.
Nice.
That HDR kicked in, and I thought it was watching the Technicolor of the 50s.
Yep.
Unbelievable. And what it does to regular DVDs and Blu-rays, it does upconvert them beautifully.
Nice. Nice.
So I'm going to tell people, if you can go out and get a 4K player, if you don't have access to 4K through other means, sometimes Amazon and Netflix has 4K, but they're not always done in HDR.
Right.
Which is high dynamic range
right.
color.
Yeah, HDR can almost make better visual than the 4K does.
Yeah. The 4K makes everything nice and sharp and very clean, but the HDR makes it pop.
Yep.
So I would suggest to anybody, I got a 4K player at, in the end at a deep discount of $89.
Wow.
Out of Best Buy, and I think it's now $99 again, but still a steal. It's not smart, so if you have a smart TV or a Roku, you don't need a smart player anyways.
Right.
So...
Right. How many ways do you need to be able to watch Netflix? I mean, one.
Yeah.
Well, but many of the boxes, the Roku, the Apple TV, now support 4K HDR.
Right.
And Netflix and YouTube and some other content are playing HD 4K.
Well, but we should warn everybody listening that if the thing you're watching is not in 4K HDR, it's not going to look as nice as you expect.
Exactly. Right.
The more you spend on the TV, the better it will upscale.
Right. But
yeah, the $2,000 Bravia versus the $500 Sensei.
Right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 40 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And we have Rick from Greece on the line. Hi, Rick. What's up?
Hello, guys. Thanks for your help. Listen, I'm so pathetic on the computer. I couldn't even find that Rochester Google's group for the first Thursday, and I have no idea where St. John's Meadow is.
Ah, okay. St. John's Meadow. Hold on a second. If you look up St. John's Meadows, there's an S on St. John's Meadows. You'll see that it's at 1 Johns Harbor Drive West, which doesn't help you much, but it's off Elmwood Avenue.
Off of Elmwood, okay.
Yeah, it's off of Elmwood, around the corner from Zeb's, which is on South Clinton.
Okay, sure, I know where that is.
All right. There you go. So it's just down Elmwood from South Clinton.
Okay.
And like I said, we meet at 7 o'clock.
Right.
And it's Rochester Googles and
whoever runs your G Plus group has not updated the website.
I couldn't even find the website, guys. That's how pathetic I am.
No, you're not pathetic. We don't have a specific.
There's a Facebook group and a Google. The Facebook group is up today.
There's a Facebook.
All right. Facebook is the place. Oh, I have Facebook on this machine. I'm very excited now. Except I can't reach it because I'm not on the thing. So yes, there is a Rochester Google's Facebook group.
Okay.
So if you go there, you'll see all the information about it.
Wonderful,
Jerry.
Right.
You got the December meeting.
Looking forward to hopefully meeting you at the next meeting.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye,
bye.
Yeah, the Rochester Googles group is a pretty cool group. Good people, lots of interesting information, and like I said, for those of you who picked up an Android device, whether it was a phone or a tablet. Or a Chrome OS device like a Chromebook or a Chromebox. This is the way to get some more pretty cool information about it. It's St. John's Meadow. And I forget the building, but it should be on the Facebook site somewhere.
Nope. Yeah, and keep, this, yeah, keep going the, down. It'll still say the it December on meeting one is, of them. Yeah, yeah, is there.
But that's you should definitely come. We'll be delighted to see you. Always a pleasure to see new people. Our next caller is, do we have time? Yes. Our next caller is Tom from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Hi, guys. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year to you.
I bought a 24-inch iMac. I liked it so much, I bought a brand-new 27-inch iMac. And everything worked on the 24-inch iMac, and I'm having problems with the 27-inch iMac. My favorites aren't loading. Only thing I have on there is Google. And I was wondering if you guys could help me get the favorites working.
Where are you trying to load them from?
It says that it's supposed to load from the most used sites.
Okay, favorites and most used are two different things. Favorites are the sites that you marked as your favorite. Top sites are ones that will automatically track the top sites you go to.
Okay, I went to bookmarks, and I checked show frequently visit in favorites.
Right.
But they're not loading. Nothing's
loading. Well, because you're...
You haven't gone anywhere yet.
Right. This is a brand new computer, and it doesn't know where to find those favorites.
Did you copy the information from your previous computer?
No, I didn't.
Right. So you're starting from scratch. It doesn't know what your favorites are yet until you start going places.
So can you export
the
bookmarks?
That's the thing. That's the thing. I have been going places.
Right.
But okay.
Hold on a second. Now, your old machine, what is your browser?
What's the browser for?
Safari?
Safari, yes.
Okay. One of the things you can do is export your bookmarks from the old machine.
How do you do that?
And then import them into the new machine. And Steve will tell you how to do
that. In the file menu, there's an export command. So on the old machine, you choose the export command to export your bookmarks.
So file. So go to your old machine, open up Safari, and under file, you can export bookmarks.
Okay.
Then that becomes a file on your desktop or wherever you put it. Remember where you put it.
Should I use a USB cable or something?
No. Listen
USB
to me.
USB flash drive.
You save it somewhere on your computer, on your old computer.
Uh-huh.
Then you remember where you put it and what you called it. Then you copy that file onto a thumb drive, a flash drive, whatever you call them.
Okay.
And then you put that flash drive in your new machine.
Uh-huh.
Start up Safari.
Uh-huh.
And go to file and import
bookmark. From bookmark file.
Bookmark file.
Okay. All right. I understand that.
Yeah. Now, you could copy everything from the old computer to the new computer using a cable. Some people like that because they get everything like the old one had. Some people don't like that because you get all the cruft and junk the old one had, too.
Yeah, see, I don't want that.
Right, so if you really just want the bookmarks, then on the old machine, export bookmarks.
Uh-huh.
And then on the new machine, use the file menu and say import from bookmarks.
Okay.
And in between those two, of course, you put the bookmark file on a thumb drive and move it over. And then you let that whoop and whir for a minute. You may have to restart Safari. I don't know.
The other thing you can do, depending on you can sync bookmarks with iCloud. And so you make a bookmark on one machine, it automatically shows up to the other machine.
Oh, that's nice.
So if on the old machine, if you log into iCloud and tell it to sync to Safari, and then on the new machine, all of the bookmarks from the old one will automatically come in.
Assuming you use the same login.
The same Apple ID to log in on both machines, yep. And then anytime you make a new bookmark on one of your machines, that same bookmark will go to all your machines.
Okay. All right. And I got another problem.
Yeah.
I screwed up my email. I was wondering, is there any way that I can start over again?
Who do you get your email through?
Through Google, because I got the Chromebook.
Sure. All right. How did you screw up your email?
Commands. I typed in wrong commands.
Is it screwed up on the computer or screwed up at Google?
On the computer. On a new one.
In your mail program, you can go to Preferences and Accounts and then delete the Google Mail account. And that deletes everything from the computer, but not from Google.
Okay.
And then add it back
again. How do I do that?
Open up your... what is your mail program? Is it the Apple Mail?
That looks like a little postage stamp.
Yes.
Yep. Go to the Mail menu and choose Accounts.
Wait a minute. Let me open that up.
I'll see if I can find instructions online for that, too.
I got it open now.
Yep. Go to the Mail menu and choose Accounts.
Accounts? Mm-hmm. What about is that?
It's the third command down in the Mail menu.
Mail menu, third. I don't see it.
It should be About Mail, Preferences, Accounts.
Across the top, you have that little apple in the upper right corner. Next to it is the word mail.
Right, the Apple menu, the Mail menu, the File menu.
Okay, got it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then Accounts.
Accounts, okay.
And then you pick your Google account in the list. You might have more than one account set up there.
Yes, I do.
Pick the one you want to delete. And then there's a little minus button to delete that account.
Down in the lower left corner of that window.
And it deletes it just from the computer, not from Google itself.
And then you can re-add it again by saying, I want to add a Google account.
With a little plus button.
With a little plus button. And then you can just put in your username and password, and mail will do all the rest.
It'll download everything back from Google.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
All right, have a nice New Year.
You too, Tom. Good luck.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 27-inch iMac, nice product.
Yep.
Nice product.
I'm waiting for the iMac Pro. What? The iMac Pro, they started taking orders.
The $5,000 one?
It starts at $5,000.
Yeah, it goes up to 13 or whatever.
15. Well, we thought it was going to go to 18.
Oh!
It only goes to 13.
What
maxed
the heck?
Out is only 13,000, so we're happy.
Yes, we are.
So we've already taken orders
for it. Do you get everything you would have gotten at 18?
Yeah.
Oh, wow!
The estimates were wrong.
Oh,
the 18-core Xeon, 128 gigs of RAM, a 4-terabyte solid-state drive.
I think that's a first. Something on Apple is less expensive than...
Less than we thought,
Now,
we've already taken orders for half a dozen of them.
I don't doubt that. I need that. No, I want that.
Yeah.
Do I need that? Absolutely not.
Hollywood
Am
video.
Am I happy with my 8 cores and my 16 gig of RAM and all
video
that?
Video editing studios. You're doing TV commercials. You know, Hollywood video editing.
Right.
You need as many of those as you can.
You need, right. That's going to be minimum in about a year.
So what was interesting is it was a company had to spend their budget for the year. So end of the year, companies have to spend all their budget so they get more money next year.
Oh, I used to love end of year sales.
If you have money left over, that means you didn't need as much, so we won't give it to you next year. So they had to spend their budget, and these hot new computers just came out.
Yep. Nothing wrong with that.
We don't know if they're going to ship yet.
Right.
I think shipping is 6 to 8 weeks.
The end of the year, that's what counts.
Yep.
I once had a guy come up to me. It was New Year's Eve. Snowing like mad. I had just locked the store. I hear behind me, are you open? I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, let me rephrase that. I have $10,000 to spend before midnight. Are you open? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we are. And this is in 79 when $10,000 meant $10,000.
We're fighting with ourselves to see, should we be open Sunday for a couple hours maybe? So, hi, Jackie. You're at work today.
Hi, Jackie.
We're hoping everyone comes in today.
Everybody go there today so that these poor people can take tomorrow off.
We're going to have 2 days off in a row. Wow.
Unbelievable. In retail, that's magic.
Yes.
Woohoo! That is magic. That's why I got out of retail. I was at Easter Sunday. I was at a guy's house fixing a hard drive, and I thought, my wife's at home with a house full of people, and I'm here doing this. No, I'm an idiot. I'm done now.
One of the things we're seeing with the iMac Pro is it's the space gray color. It's darker than my silver laptop I've gotten from me here. And the keyboard and mouse that come with are both the space gray. You cannot buy them separately.
Really?
People have already asked, oh, I want the black, you know, space gray key. Because all the keyboards now are silver.
Yeah.
So it's the new color.
Right.
How is somebody going to know I bought the new thing if
right.
it's the same color?
Right. Right. And that was the problem people had with a couple of the iPhones.
Yep.
They look like the old iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're a quarter of an inch bigger or, you know, you can't tell at a glance.
Yep.
You know, it should have 6S printed across the back.
It doesn't even have it on the back anymore. Just iPhone.
Right.
I guess it saves them, what, a half a penny, a quarter of a penny?
When you sell a gazillion of them, that adds up to some money right there. But, yeah, you know, everybody complains about not having enough processing power and enough storage and everything else. That's why I have a Chromebook. It's not about what's in the computer. It's about what's in the cloud. And Google is fast and convenient. I do all my – we talk about backups and editing and hiccups and things like that. I do all my editing. It saves like every 5 seconds automatically. So even if I don't save, it saves. If I suddenly get cut off, I've been, you know, working on the Great American Novel, or at least a guru guide, in a restaurant or a hotel or, you know, whatever. Not a restaurant, cafe or a hotel or whatever. And suddenly the internet goes out. I lose at most 5 seconds of work.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
We did get the service manual for the new iMac Pro, and we're seeing some annoying things on it already. The 27-inch iMacs have a RAM door on the back with user-installable RAM slots. The new iMac Pro has user-installable RAM slots, but no door. So it's not user-installable anymore. Because it would ruin the clean lines of the back, we think.
Oh, you know what?
So now to replace the RAM.
I can't say this on the air, so.
Yeah.
Apple can. And that's what I mean.
Yeah. So now to replace the RAM, like we have to do in the 21-inch model. So the LCD and the glass panel are glued to the back panel to make it really thin.
Right.
We have to cut through the glue, take the LCD off, take the logic board off. Then we can replace the RAM cards.
So now what would have been a 5-minute job
is 2 hours.
For $100 is now a 2-hour job for $300.
Right.
Right.
And from what we can tell, the RAM is in almost a similar spot that it is on the other iMac 27s. They just didn't put the door there. So right, the door is hiding behind the foot on the current models. And so the RAM is off to the side a little more on the Pro, so the door wouldn't be symmetrical anymore. So there was probably a design decision somewhere. Do we move the RAM to make it symmetrical, or do we have an off-center door? And Johnny Ive probably said, clean lines, no door.
Johnny Ive needs to take his pills. That music tells me we're done for this hour. But ho-ho, you lucky people, you get to do this again in just a few minutes, because we have a whole nother hour of this nonsense. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And we will be back with a whole lot more of Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is the truly great and truly grateful to you that we remain member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Yes, for those of you just tuning in, we apologize. We were all one step ahead of the law. last week somewhere in the Midwest. I was actually in the Southwest. And this week, Dave still is lost in the wilds of no man's land somewhere in the mesas of Arizona. But we're back here to bring you one more hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. And our first caller is Dennis. Our first caller this hour is Dennis from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Dennis. What's up?
This is for Steve. I've got an iPhone 6, and ever since I downloaded iOS 11, I've got a rotating wheel at the top of the phone next to my Wi-Fi symbol. And it's there most of the time, not all the time, but in order to get rid of it, I have to shut my phone off and reboot the phone. What's the deal with that?
Is it kind of like dots chasing each other?
Yes.
That means it's connecting to the internet and transferring data.
Okay, but when it's doing it like for a half hour or an hour or whatever, I mean, I'm not doing anything with the phone. The phone is just sitting.
How big is your photo library? It may be syncing your photos, syncing bookmarks, running a backup. You know, anything that does the internet will spin that little thing.
Okay, except I did not see this. This did not happen before iOS 11. Has anybody else asked you about this or anything else come up about this spinning wheel?
No, the spinning wheel's been there since iOS began to tell you that it's doing something on the internet.
Wow. Okay, man, I must have been really out of whack not noticing it up until iOS 11.
Sometimes when you get you first are setting up your phone, it will run for a long time as it synchronizes all the data through from iCloud, your photos and things like that. There is a way to track cellular data usage, but I don't see a way to track Wi-Fi data usage built in. If you go into settings under cellular, it will tell you how much data has passed over cellular.
Yeah. But I try to shut off everything that's possible because I mostly, the only time I use Safari is if I'm at home and I'm using Wi-Fi, then I don't use it at all. Otherwise, I'm periodically sending a text or doing nothing, but yet I haven't taken pictures in a long time. That's why I'm so curious about this, and I just don't remember that seeing that up there. But maybe it's
it may be syncing your photo library. Do you have Photo Sync turned on, or Photo Stream, or Photo Library? So it's not just Safari; it's any data. So all the iCloud syncing could be checking for updates. The 11.2.1 update came out. It could be downloading that. It's anything it does over the internet, and it does a lot over the internet, even without having Safari open.
How fast is your internet connection?
40 megabits per second.
Okay,
it's Time Warner, but not Spectrum.
Right. Well, of course, you don't get that over Wi-Fi. You probably get more like 25 or 27, but still, that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, it's not necessarily something to worry about. It's something's happening in the background. It's checking something. How many third-party apps are you running?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. Generally speaking, if they have been... most of the apps on the App Store have been checked by Apple, so they shouldn't be doing anything bad in the background. But you need to think about what it is you've downloaded and what it is they're doing, and are they grabbing data from the internet or sending data to the internet? That's a tough thing to figure out without a lot of additional work, quite frankly.
Yeah, I did see something about this. Other people have inquired about this. I saw that on the internet. But the last question for you is, should I be putting an anti-malware program on my iPhone?
Always.
I have no antivirus, no malware programs on my iPhone at all.
It wouldn't hurt. What was it? Lookout is a good one. The biggest problem you're going to run into is fake messages on the internet. So you're in Safari or web browser, and there's a message that says you have a virus. It's lying, trying to steal your money. And there's no way to stop that with other software because it's an ad. And so you could put an ad blocker in, but then many websites don't work if you have an ad blocker running.
Right. But, yes, you should run Outlook or something like it.
Lookout.
Excuse me, Lookout, not Outlook. That's a whole other thing. Lookout in order to keep your phone fairly secure. I run that on Android. Many people run it on iPhones. And it's an excellent program that essentially is a malware checker.
Don't you have a story about several hundred programs just removed from the Google Play Store for doing things they weren't talking that they didn't say they were going to do?
Right. Well, there's a bunch of programs that are mostly games that track what you're watching on TV by constantly running your microphone and listening to the television. Most of them are games, names like Pool 3D, Beer Pong, Trick Shot, Real Bowling, Strike Pin, Honey Quest, which features Jumbo, the animated bear.
I thought Jumbo was an elephant.
Jumbo is an elephant, except in Honey Quest, where he's an animated bear.
Yeah.
Okay, so, we saw The Greatest Showman this week. What a movie. Anyway, here's the deal. There are hundreds of these, and Google removed hundreds of them, and the App Store, the Apple App Store, also removed a bunch of them. There are about 1,000 games, messaging, and social apps using the Alphonso software. I know that on if you want to know teeth fixed, zap balloons, things like that. Many of them can be found by searching for Alphonso, A-L, where is it? I want to make sure I spell it correctly. Blah, blah, blah. There it is. A-L-P-H-O-N-S-O on the App Store. And then you get a list of those and see if you actually downloaded one of those. It may well be that one of them is constantly sending stuff from your microphone without your permission up to, actually with your permission. Because you do have to say, yes, use my microphone.
Wow.
And people just answer yes, yes, yes.
Because they want to get to the game.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
That's creepy. Okay, well, I'll look out is what I need to get. Okay, that's great. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, there's a... I'll read this at the next... do we have anybody else on the line? No, then I'll read right now. At first glance, the gaming apps with names like... Pool 3D, Beer Pong, Trick Shot, Real Bowling, Strike, Ten Pin, seem innocuous. One called Honey Bear. Honey Quest features Jumbo, an animated bear. Yet these apps, once downloaded onto a smartphone, have the ability to keep tabs on the viewing habits of their users, some of whom may be children, even when the games aren't being played. And yet another example of how companies using devices that many people feel they can't do without are documenting how audiences in a rapidly expanding entertainment landscape are viewing television and commercials. The apps use software from Alphonso, a startup that collects TV viewing data for advertisers. Using a smartphone's microphone, Alphonso's software can detail what people watch by identifying audio signals in TV ads and shows, sometimes even matching that information with the places people visit and the movies they see. The information can then be used to target ads more precisely and to try to analyze things like which ads prompt the person to go to a car dealership. Hint, none of them. More than 250 games that use Alphonso software are available in Google Play Store. Many are also available in Apple's App Store. Most of the tracking is taking place through gaming apps that do not otherwise involve a smartphone's microphone, including some apps that are geared toward children, like Honey Quest featuring Jumbo, the animated bear. The software can also detect sounds even when a phone is in a pocket, if the apps are running in the background. Alphonso said that its software, which does not record human speech, is clearly explained in app descriptions and privacy policies, and that the company cannot gain access to users' microphones and locations unless they agree, which is true, and that's what we were talking about. People just click. The consumer is opting in knowingly and can opt out any time, Ashish Kordia, Alphonso's chief executive, said, adding that the company's disclosures comply with FCC or FTC, Federal Trade Commission, guidelines. The company also provides opt-out instructions on its website, assuming you know that they're there and how to get to the website, et cetera, et cetera. Alphonso declined to say how many people it is collecting data from. And Mr. Cordia said that he would not disclose the names of the roughly 1,000 games and messaging and social apps with Alphonso Software because a rival was trying to hurt its relationships with developers. The New York Times identified many of the apps in question by searching Alphonso Automated and Alphonso Software in the Google Play Store. Mr. Cordia also said that Alphonso did not approve of its software being used in apps meant for children, but it was, as of earlier this month, integrated into more than a dozen games like Teeth Fixed and Zap Balloons from KLAP Edutainment in India, which describes itself as primarily focusing on offering educational games for kids and students. Do you know which of your apps are listening in? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And, it seems so innocuous. Oh, here's a cool game. Pop the Balloons, Alphonso, Jumbo the Animated Bear.
And you play it once or twice, and then ignore it. It's
right.
Still on your phone. It's still doing all this seemingly malicious stuff. Because very few people actually delete stuff when they don't play it anymore.
I actually got a message the other day that said I can't update because there's not enough space. So I had to go delete some crap I haven't run in a year.
That's when it happens.
Yeah.
And now the minimum phones are 64 gigs. That takes an awful lot of apps to fill 64 gigs.
Exactly.
Now, there's a way in Android to check all your permissions to see what you've given permission to. In the Apple, it's in settings under privacy. You can see what privacy settings you've set on an app-by-app basis. And you may be surprised about what apps are still installed that have access to your camera or your microphone or your position, your GPS location. That can be a creepy one, too.
Right. And it's important to check this stuff periodically. And there are some, things like read and write your calendar or camera or phone, manage your phone calls. I have an app that once asked me, can I, manage your phone calls?
I hit an app once asked me if, I see you have a Twitter, can we post stuff on your Twitter feed? I'm like, no.
Right. No. Right. Now, I do have an app which I absolutely love, and I've used it for years. I don't really need it anymore now that I'm retired. But it takes every phone call I make or get and records the fact of that phone call in my calendar. So I can go back and say, when I was working, I could go back and say, no, I called you about this on Tuesday at 3 p.m. Very easily.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. I did.
I never got that message.
Yeah, right.
We had a 3.5-minute phone call.
That's exactly right, because it records how long each phone call was as well. Now, nowadays, it's just me telling my wife I'll be home or her telling me, as I'm retired and it doesn't matter anymore. But I loved that app.
Warning your wife you're coming home.
Right. Get the llamas out, honey. I'm on my way home. See, it's called Call Track, and I do not know if it's available for iPhone. But wow, was it the most useful program I ever had, ever, on my phone when I was working.
Just Call Track or Call and Message Track?
Mine was Call Track, just Call Track.
Looks like there's a few similar ones.
There are similar ones. Call and Message Track does the same thing. But for work, I never messaged anybody. It was always calls because I was working with faculty who barely know how to unlock their doors. Excuse me. To all the faculty I don't work with anymore. I don't care. I don't work with you anymore.
You actually use your phone for making calls?
Yeah, right, exactly.
God, you're old.
That's how old they were. Exactly. That's exactly right. So that was that's a beautiful thing. And I specifically said yes to that particular permission because.
And it puts it all on your calendar?
And it can put it all on your calendar. In fact, I set up a special calendar called Phone. Duh.
Yeah.
And, I can, because with different calendars, you can say yes or no to viewing them. So I can view them and see exactly who did what to whom, when, where, and how. And it's not the same as recording a conversation, which on an Android phone you can do with something four, pound four, maybe. I don't remember. But you can record calls easily. But this sort of thing is very stealthy when it's something you don't expect. You know, nobody expects a game to be tracking you orally.
Orally,
I suppose. yes. Thank you. And it's, as I said the word orally, I thought to myself, how can I emphasize the AU so Steve doesn't go there? But he's there. He was there before I finished the word. So,
have you had Umax lately?
I had what?
Umax?
No. Umax?
All our Ferengi friends are going mad.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. I've had Ublek, but not Umax. So that's a whole other story.
Is Ublek bomb proof?
No.
No.
Didn't you watch
the
episode?
Yes, I did.
All right. No, it is not bomb-proof.
You'd think it would be, but it actually makes things worse.
I know, went up to 51 PSI instead of...
10 will kill you.
And 10 will kill you. Well, 10 will damage your lungs. So anything from 10 and up is likely to kill you.
Yeah.
And the higher you go, obviously. 51, yeah, that'll kill you.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take... You don't even know what we're talking about. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 20 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we're delighted to say we have Steve from Greece on the line. I don't know how delighted we'll be after we talk to him, but right now we're pretty delighted. Hi, Steve. What's up?
I think you're going to be ecstatic, as I really do.
I knew it was you.
First of all, a slightly premature Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
The Google's meeting, I think you really need to tell people once they pull in how to find it, because my first time I was all over the place because I had no idea where to go.
Well, we kept moving as you kept getting closer to us.
Pardon?
Nothing. Go ahead. Yeah, it's St. John's. I forget the name of the building. Do you remember the name of the specific building?
Well, basically, I mean, you can tell them just when you pull in, turn right, it's the first building on the left.
Yeah, that's true. First driveway on the left, and then the building is on the left of the driveway. So, yeah, if you come into St. John's main entrance there and turn right as you come around the first driveway on the left, you'll almost pass it by because it's semi-hidden. But it's there, and that's the building right there. And then you can ask at the desk because they know where we are. But then if you come in the main doors, we're around to the left, and then you'll be facing the mailboxes, and then it's a right. We're essentially behind the mailboxes. So if you go right and then left, and that's where we are. So if you walk in the so if you come in the main entrance, turn right, first driveway on the left. When you go in the main doors, turn left, you're facing the mailboxes, and we're essentially behind them.
Yep. I had a tough time finding it the first time, but after that, it's obviously been...
No, but your name is...
Yeah. Well, we all did, actually, that very first time. I don't remember the name of the building itself, and I should. It's probably somewhere on the. It's probably somewhere on the.
Facade or something.
Yeah, it's likely to be on the Facebook page, but I can't get to the Facebook page, of course. Which is the way it works here. When you're in a school, they often block that stuff.
Ah, yes.
So yeah, and we have about the community. Will that tell me something? It doesn't say. Jerry, if you're listening, call in and tell us what building it's in. Anybody who knows what building it's in, I just don't remember the name of the building. But it like Steve said, it's the first. Turn right when you come in the entrance, first left, that building right on the left. There you are.
Your name is?
Okie doke.
Okie doke. Thank you very much, guys. Happy New Year.
Thanks. You too, Steve. See you Thursday.
Yep. All right.
The, there we go. The group changes regularly. Some weeks we have guest stars from out of town, but we have a number of people who work pretty regularly, who show up pretty regularly, and it's a good group of people, and we have lots of interesting stuff going on. And now back to the phones. Our next caller is Ken from Rochester, not Kem, Ken from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Ken. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Hey, doing excellent, I guess. I got a Chromebook.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of trouble with my Chromebook.
Okay.
When you get in the password, I always forget my password. But is there a way that you can remember the password right on the machine?
No, it will not do that, and that's a security feature. But do you have an Android phone?
No.
Okay, then never mind. There is a way to.
It's just a regular phone that I got.
Yeah, if you had if you have an Android phone, there's a way to hook it. To connect it to your Chromebook so that if the phone is unlocked, the Chromebook will be unlocked. But
yeah.
What you're going to have to do is remember that password, Ken. There's no help for that. Google doesn't even give you the option because it is a security feature.
And it's even hard to recover a forgotten password from Google.
Yeah.
Right.
And there is no...
I wonder because I thought there was a way... to do it because I'm bad where when you put the password in, I have a hard time to remembering the password. And
no,
I thought there was another way to do it. I do have a VTech phone, but really that might not really help it, right?
Right. Not necessarily.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that one password to log in to the Chromebook itself, you have to remember. It will remember your website passwords in the Chrome browser.
Right.
But that
right.
one master... That's so somebody just doesn't walk up to your computer and get all your passwords.
Of course.
Yeah,
but the whole thing is, if you remember it, like I did on a couple of them, I remember it, but they're saying that you have to get a new one, not the same one over again.
Right. If you try to reset it, you can't use one you've used previously. Because it might be suspect, yeah. You don't have to make it a complex, you know, uppercase, you know, left elbow, you know, $6 sign. You know. It can be, you know, two or three words, as long as it is something easy for you to remember. You just don't want it to be a single word that someone could attack with a dictionary, for example. You know, two or three unrelated words, you know, maybe a number in the middle. So it doesn't have to be complex. It just has to be long. We're finding out that long is better than complex.
Mm-hmm. So you can put three words on one and then a number and then three words again?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll try that and see what happens.
Yeah, good luck. I'm sorry. They're very security conscious, and because that one thing unlocks everything on your Chrome and on your Google account, they're very careful about it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what word or anything to put in when you get the three words.
It could be one word, two words, three words. Doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter what that word is. It's best if it's not easily guessed.
Right.
That's why you try to use unrelated words. You know,
right. You don't want it to be Ken 123 Ken.
Right.
Right. But, you know, some
tree,
any word,
dog, horse, 25.
Right. Doesn't matter.
Okay. We'll try that word.
Yep.
Good luck.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Let me write that
bye
down.
Bye.
Tree, dog,
bye-bye.
Horse, 25 is what I said. So
yeah, right.
If we run into Ken, we'll try that.
We'll try that. it is very true that everybody hates passwords. Everybody hates them. They are still the way most people get into their computers, and you just have to remember a password. That's all.
And it isn't your fault. It's the other end that has made this such a problem. There are the 5 billion pwned accounts. There was the 100 million lost at Target and 100 million lost at Home Depot and, you know, 50 million lost at Equifax. So the other end loses your password, and you don't want to use the same password you do on, you know, Amazon that you do on PayPal or that you did at Target, because now your Target password has been lost and the bad guys know that password.
Right.
And they will try it on Amazon and PayPal and Citibank and see if it works.
Right. You can write a program that will try to log into all of those and report whether or not it was successful. So you plug it in once, hit the button, and just sit back.
Yep.
It's real easy to do. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Amy from Greece, New York. Hi, Amy. What's up?
Hi there. Well, I had a question on what you were doing on the Alfonso thing, but I did a Google search while I was waiting. What came up said Max Lowenthal Hall, Building 12.
No, that's an RIT. That's old.
That's the real old one. Okay. That's the one at RIT.
Yeah, that hasn't been updated yet.
Oh,
actually, yeah, the Google group hasn't been updated in a very long time. The Facebook page is only a month old or 2 months old.
Right.
Okay. All right. You were talking about Alfonso.
Yeah.
You started talking and I grabbed a pad, but not fast enough, and short-term memory being what it isn't. How did you spell Alfonso again?
Alphonso.
Oh, I did have it right. How about that?
New York Times
went looking for Alfonso Automated?
Well, they looked for Alfonso Automated and Alfonso Software.
Doggone, I actually wrote it down right. How about that?
Okay. I don't believe it. I'm sorry, Andy.
What caught my mind was when you said balloons, because having the grandkids, they like that balloon game.
Yep.
So I need to go start checking some things to make sure that microphones aren't turned on.
Is it right. Zap balloons?
Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
It just says balloons. It's on the iPad my wife has, and you bring it up, and the two-year-old was sitting there popping away on the balloons.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, check it out and check what permissions it's using and everything else, because that will tell you what's going on.
Okay, yeah, I'll warn my son and daughter-in-law, too, because they have it on their iPhones, because the kids like playing with it. So, all righty. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. No, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have fun.
I used to have an app called Bubble Wrap that would let you pop the bubble wrap.
Oh, yeah. Great app.
I found some bubble wrap the other day. I went to pop, and it didn't make any noise. I was so disappointed.
That's illegal.
And how do they engineer bubble wrap that doesn't make a noise when
you pop
it?
That's evil. That is just evil. That is the most evil thing I have ever heard. Wow. There's the fall of civilization right there. Yeah.
So I had to go find some other ones that did make a noise.
Yeah, of course you did.
I was upset.
That's right. Like somebody makes a fidget thing that has bubble wrap.
Oh, yeah? How about a fidget spinner that doesn't actually spin?
It's not a spinner. It's just a fidget toy. It's a cube. It's a fidget cube.
Now, if it could reinflate itself and you just wrap around.
Yeah.
And
well, these are actually push buttons. So it feels like bubble wrap. And when you push it, it feels like you've done it, but it pops back up again.
Cute.
So you did it again. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. Tim, what's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. I was just wondering where you guys see the net neutrality thing going from here. I was kind of hoping you would open the debate for just a moment and talk about the pros of net or the strongest pro argument for net neutrality and how you feel what is the strongest argument against that. I've always been kind of a libertarian at heart, so when it comes to government regulation, I've struggled with it, but I recognize corporate greed, and I recognize the problems when some things are not regulated, so I've struggled with this.
Right.
And I was just wondering, where do you think it's going from here? And I support your guys' views on it, but I would love to hear, what do you feel is the strongest argument on the opposition, and why, and what you feel defeats that argument best?
All right, here's the deal. Net neutrality said that all traffic on the internet was equal,
and the regulation was to prevent ISPs from treating it otherwise.
Right.
So, and regulation is one of those hot topic words. We don't want government regulate. We're not regulating the internet. We're telling ISPs don't screw the internet.
Now, the reason that the government repealed net neutrality was ostensibly because internet service providers did not feel they could make enough money under the rule that everybody was equal. They want to be able to charge. For example, Spectrum feels it is perfectly reasonable that they should charge Netflix more money to provide their service on Spectrum's internet because they compete with Netflix. And so they feel that if Netflix is their competitor, they should charge it more than, say, I don't know, Fred's website traffic coming over. And so what that ends up with, of course, is that you will end up paying more to right. Netflix.
Right, yep.
The previous administration's argument was that the internet is now a significant engine of commerce, and that having a level playing field meant that startups had an equal chance to get ahead.
And now we have companies like Netflix and YouTube and Hulu.
All of whom benefited from net neutrality in building their companies. And now what is happening is if I start up a service that would in any way compete with any of the internet service providers, they have the right now to charge me more to be on their network.
And part of the problem is the internet providers are also content providers.
Right.
And the new, in essence, lack of regulation is that the ISPs will disclose what they're doing ahead of time when they do something bad, apparently.
Theoretically, they will, but yeah. There is no law that says they must.
Right. And many ISPs have been caught in the past doing things like blocking FaceTime. AT&T was caught blocking FaceTime because they were selling their own video conferencing solution.
And or slowing down Netflix because they compete with Netflix.
Comcast owns NBC, and you should be watching NBC, not Netflix. What was the other big one with BitTorrent? A lot of places will block BitTorrent because a lot of it is illegal, but not all of it. And there was a big case where one of the Associated Press was trying to download the Bible and was getting blocked and slowed down because he was not.
Because he was using BitTorrent.
He was using BitTorrent and not using a different service.
Right.
So the ISPs have been doing shady things for all along, and when they get caught, there's very little penalty involved. And so that was what the regulations were put in place to do, is penalize them for doing bad things.
How are these notifications supposed to be happening?
Nobody knows. They're also not regulated.
It'll be, you know, little tiny fine print under a policy on some corporate webpage you'll never look at.
Oh, there won't be like a small pop-up or something telling
you. No.
Oh, my gosh.
No. No, they could put an ad in the Podunk seed catalog. Weekly.
We disclosed it.
That's all.
And some of the things that are happening are tough to explain because they sound good. Like one of the cell phone carriers, if you watch Netflix, it doesn't count towards your data plan. Well, that sounds good. But if you watch Hulu, it does count towards your data plan. So they're charging you extra to watch Hulu.
Right.
And then another carrier is doing it the opposite way. So charging you extra for a service that they're not charging extra for a competing service, we think is bad. We want the net to be neutral. Everything should be the same.
Right. And none of this will change under the current administration. So as long as the Republicans hold the presidency, the House, and the Senate, these rules will not change.
And the billions of dollars, I'm trying to find the exact number, the billions of dollars that the lobbyists from AT&T, Verizon, the other ISPs have paid to Congress people is just ridiculous.
And I understand that. The part where I got lost is you said under the new administration. I thought what happened in the past month or two did cause a reversal.
Right. When the old administration was the Obama administration, they had net neutrality. The current administration removed net neutrality.
So now ISPs can overcharge you as much as they want as long as they disclose it.
And as long as this current Republican administration is in power, right, that will never change.
No, I did understand that then. So what do you foresee happening that is going to impact everyone?
I see prices. Well, already all of the large ISPs have announced rate hikes.
Oh, okay.
Even though they all, of course, promised they wouldn't do that if net neutrality were removed, they've all announced that. In addition, I see as time goes on, you'll be paying more and more and more for things like Netflix and Hulu and YouTube and everything else. That is now being charged more itself by the internet service providers who don't own them.
And we may never get the next Netflix or the next YouTube or the next big thing on the internet because they can't afford to
right. And
have
the
you pay more.
Right. And the real point behind net neutrality was that innovation thing.
Yeah.
Charging by the type of traffic stifles innovation.
Yes, I agree. I understand what you're saying.
But on their side, they were saying that net neutrality was stifling innovation, and we can't spend money to build out infrastructure because we're hampered by net neutrality.
Although every year
they spend more and more.
They spend more and more and more millions of dollars building out there.
And the CEO of Verizon said on public record during an SEC announcement that net neutrality has not stopped them from spending money outfitting their
service. See, the thing you always have to look at are the SEC filings. That is the only place by law that they may not lie. And if they do, they are fined billions.
Okay.
So always look at the SEC filings. We got to take a break.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, back in just a couple of minutes. Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 43 minutes after the hour. Soundbites member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 46 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Tom from Brighton, New York on the line. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Got an iPhone 5, and it's working just fine until very recently when even after it's well charged up, it'll run, you know, for a while, and then very suddenly the charge will drop from, you know, 100% down to like 70 and then 50 and then lower. So it'll discharge very rapidly at a certain point. Is that simply an indication that the battery is going, or is and also is the iPhone 5 eligible for that battery upgrade that Apple recently announced for older phones?
No, the iPhone 5 is currently not included in that. Yes, that is a common symptom of battery consumption. So basically, when you get your battery, you know, 100% is 8 hours. As the battery is consumed and wears out, 100%, you know, might be 10 minutes. So that can drop very, very quickly. The other problem could be a runaway process, some program running in the background eating the battery. There have been problems with Facebook and Skype and things like that sitting in the background waiting for something to happen and running your battery down.
Okay.
So one thing to check is quit all the apps, reboot the phone, and see if it happens again. You can bring your phone into the Apple Store or a independent third-party Apple service provider.
Such as MacF.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We can do a battery test on the phone to see if the battery is consumed. Battery replacement is between $80 and $100, depending on the phone. For an iPhone 5, that may not be worth putting that much money into.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we did get the phone. It was already refurbished. We got it about, I think it was in 2015. So we've had almost 3 years of use out of it. I assume it was used for several years earlier than that, obviously. Yeah, so you're saying it's a little under $100 for a battery replacement or else just upgrade to a different phone.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Apple on the letter they put out talks a lot about the chemistry of batteries.
Right.
And they just wear out. But we're used to batteries wearing out and replacing them ourselves. That's what's getting annoying now. Even laptops now don't have user replaceable batteries anymore.
Right, right, right. This one actually still does. I don't know about the new Chromebooks, but I can take the back off and the battery's in there, although... it's not. There's no door.
There was. There was an interesting thing with a new airline problem regulation. A lot of bags now have and suitcases now have batteries in them, so you can charge your phone from your suitcase, or the suitcase will have a GPS tracker in it. There's even a suitcase that has a little motor that you then ride your suitcase over the airport. Airlines are now banning those batteries from checked baggage.
Right.
So you have to take the battery out of the bag and carry it with you on the plane, which makes me think what happens if there's a problem there. You're not going to open the door and throw it out.
Well, but that's – we got on a, one of the flights I took this last week, somebody got on – with a steward got on the phone and said – on the PA and said, among the many other announcements – please remove all lithium-ion batteries from your electronic devices.
Right.
An entire plane full of people looked up from their phones and then just looked back down and kept on working.
And ignored them, yeah.
Ignored them. And I thought, wow, yeah. Okay.
I understand they don't want to have a fire in the cargo hold, but if there's a fire in the passenger cabin, I guess you can do a little bit more about it.
Well, they've got fire extinguishers and yada, 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 so maybe.
So these suitcase companies need to retool now so to make those batteries removable.
Right.
Or to make them small enough. There's a limit where you don't have to do the battery removal.
Right.
It wasn't 500 watt hours or
whatever
something
it is.
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it is a problem. That's why they're also looking at all those new battery technologies. Yep. You were talking about the one they could cut up while it was actually running.
With a solid electrolyte so that it's not flammable and doesn't expand.
Well, somebody was doing a set of YouTube videos where they would pound nails into batteries and do all kinds of horrible things to them and watch them flame up and explode and, you know, that's sort of fair. And, yeah, I get it. If you actually pound the nail through your phone, it will probably catch fire.
Yep.
Yes. Congratulations. You learned that.
We have to take a battery safety class as part of our service training. And one of the things that they say is if you drop the battery, dispose of it. Don't use it again. Because that sharp impact can set up these chain reactions that can cause problems in batteries.
I've dropped my phone probably 1,000 times.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because I have a replaceable battery, the back pops off and the battery pops out.
Mm-hmm.
But that pulls most of the force of impact away from the screen, and I've never broken my screen.
Yeah.
But all that force actually goes into popping the back and the battery. But what you're saying is I should have thrown away that battery years ago.
Just to be safe.
Yeah. No phone, no electronic device ever has successfully passed the patented Francesco drop test, except my Galaxy S5.
We were at a dinner party for my sister's birthday last night, and
happy birthday, sis!
Happy birthday, sister! And people were taking pictures, and so one woman, I just climbed on top of a chair to take an overhead shot of the whole table. The guy at the next table got up and offered to take a picture so she could be in it. And so everyone's handing him phones, and he drops mine, catches it, before it hits, it gets too far away from, and like the whole restaurant applauds.
Yeah, I don't doubt that, because you've had an iPhone, it probably would have been a real problem. But yeah,
and he was standing on a chair, so it would have fallen like 10 feet.
You're right.
That 2 foot fall to a carpeted floor is probably okay.
Right.
10 foot fall onto.
I don't think I've ever dropped my phone on a carpeted surface. I don't think ever, ever. But yeah, and I usually drop it from table height or higher. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting to me is the new screen technologies that are foldable.
Yeah.
So theoretically, if you can fold a screen, you're unlikely to break it by dropping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be a flexible enough technology to handle the stresses of dropping. Theoretically. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any of them yet, right?
Yeah.
But theoretically, you would think that. And if you can combine that with the new solid-state batteries, if that's the proper term, you might have something that really would be much more difficult to catch fire. And I'm sure Samsung is going to jump on that in a hot New York minute.
Yep.
Samsung, theoretically, this coming month, I forget whether it's the second or third week, will be at CES, the new Consumer Electronics Show. And theoretically, that's when people show all the new stuff. So CES 2018.
That you'll be able to buy for Christmas.
They'll be able to buy for next Christmas, exactly right. And it's the international CES, I think, this time, and I don't know where it is. Oh, it's in Vegas. Vegas, baby! All right. That music tells me that I can finally shut the hell up and we can all go home. That's it for another week.
Not me. I can't go home.
No, you, not you, because you're going to be here with George playing the best German music you'll hear all week. Don't go away. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow, and this is the end of the last show of 2017. We'll be back next week, which is also next year, and we will be here with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe, the sound bites on the truly great and, thanks to you, solely member supported Jazz 90.1. Thank you. May all of you have a happy, safe, joy filled and peaceful new year. And we will see you next week and next year in just 166 hours. Be good to each other.